This is a terrible incident that happened to me after I performed a devil summoning ritual with my best friend, Austin. The reason why I'm sharing this story, which has been buried in my heart for a long time, is to warn all humans that no one should ever summon the devil. Devils are 100 times more cruel, terrible, and powerful than humans. One day, 7 years ago, when Austin and I were teenagers, we discovered how to summon devils on the internet. And like fools, we actually tried it. At the time, I did not know that we were actually opening the gates of hell. It all started when Austin began to chant a spell. But after a while, he suddenly screamed and grabbed his stomach. Then I saw something bulging and moving in his stomach. Austin screamed for help, saying there was something in his stomach. The skin on his abdomen protruded as if it were about to be torn, and a monstrous voice came from inside his body.
"Hello, friends."
Then Austin started gagging, and something like a red tail came out of his mouth. I thought I was hallucinating. Austin said there was a devil in his stomach, and he asked for a knife to stab himself in the stomach. Before he could do it, his mother came into the room, having heard his scream. Somehow, Austin suddenly felt fine, and he said he couldn't feel anything in his stomach now. I explained to his mother what happened, but she didn't believe me. I went home after that and was scared all night. The next day, I got a call from Austin, and he asked me to come to his house. I went to his house, and he seemed unexpectedly fine. When I asked him what happened, he just laughed. I noticed that his tongue was split in two. Then he came closer to me. His breath was hot and smelled of sulfur, so I was startled and took a step back. He blew a stream of air at me. The air was burning hot. I moved away from it and fell back, covering my face with my hands. I saw that the clothes on my arm, where his breath had touched them, were burned. Smoke was coming out of his mouth as if his insides were burning. He took a deep breath like he was trying to blow again. At that moment, I knew that if his breath touched me, I would be in big trouble. So I kicked him hard in the stomach and ran away. I ran outside and called him. He answered his phone, and when I asked him, "What the hell is going on?" he answered in a monstrous voice.
"Hell is happening. What does the devil do? It destroys, hurts, and kills God's creatures."
I told him we didn't mean to do this and begged him to go back. He just laughed at me and said,
"I just got here and you're telling me to go back. I feel sad. I'm going to play with you and this guy for a very long time."
I cried and begged for forgiveness, but all I could hear was the monster's laugh coming from the phone. I was so scared that I hung up the phone. After that, I had no contact with Austin for a while. A few days passed like that. Then one night, I got a call from an unknown number, and when I answered it, it was Austin's mother. She told me, sobbing, "Austin, Austin." She sounded like she was out of breath. What she said after a while was so shocking that I threw up. She said Austin was found dead in his room. However, Austin's entire body was burned, and his mouth was badly torn. She didn't know what happened. The police came and investigated, but there was no sign that anyone had broken into Austin's room. The only thing that was clear was that Austin's throat was ripped open. What was even more creepy was that there were bloodstains and a small child's footprints all the way from Austin to the window, but the police were never able to figure out whose footprints they were. I wasn't sure exactly what happened to Austin, but I knew it was the devil's doing, but I couldn't tell anyone what happened to us. From that day on, I was tormented by my grief for Austin every day, but there was actually something else that bothered me more. It was the extreme fear that the devil would come for me, too. So, every night, I prayed to God to protect me. 7 years passed, and during that time, I have read and reread countless prayers. Sometimes, in my dreams, Austin comes to me crying and asks me to kill the devils for him. I've thought about trying to take revenge on the devils, but I know that challenging a devil is like jumping into a volcano.
When I was 20, I made a friend while working at a supermarket. Her name was Brooke, but something was strange about her. Whenever I went near her, the smell of blood and fire was always present. When I said she smelt burnt, she said her own soul was burning. One day she sighed and said, "I want to go to my hometown." "Where's your hometown?" I asked. "It is a place where only evil beings reside. There, fireballs fall from the sky instead of rain, and the sea is full of blood. The beings there don't eat food. They feed on the screams of other beings," she answered. I figured she was obsessed with some weird comics. A few days later, she told me, "I went to my hometown yesterday," but her complexion was ashen, as if she were very ill, and she was nauseous. But she was smiling brightly. She said she had been to a monthly festival in her hometown. She said that at the festival, the person who causes the most pain to others receives a prize. I thought she was joking. She enjoyed the festival to the fullest, but she said she was very bored now because there was nothing fun here. When she saw people passing by at the supermarket, she said things like she wanted to take their eyeballs out and take them with her, or she wanted to skin them and put them on display. I was astonished. She purred and laughed like an animal. Everyone avoided her. I got goosebumps every time I saw her, but I ignored all the red flags and continued to be her friend. Then one day it happened. She sent me this text late at night. "Today, the guy next door got drunk and urinated on the wall of my house, so I'm gonna make him pee all night long." I thought she was joking, but a few days later, I went to her house and saw the man next door to her. But he had become a completely different person than before. He was normally a very manly and tough guy, but that day, as soon as he saw Brooke, he ran away screaming. He looked like a scared puppy. I asked Brooke why he did that, and she laughed and said, "I went into his house a few nights ago. He was so surprised to see me because I took the horned demons with me. The demons pounded his body with their horns all night. He screamed at the top of his lungs. That's my favorite sound. The next day, the demons disappeared like smoke. But the terrible pain he suffered remained vivid. But he probably had no choice but to think he was having a nightmare, because he can't possibly think that what had happened to him was real." Ha! She looked very satisfied. I got goosebumps all over my body as I looked at her expression. Of course, what she said may be false, but I was certain that something had happened to that man. The whole time I was in her house, I heard the guy next door crying. I felt like he needed to go to a mental hospital quickly. I stayed away from Brooke after that day because her face gradually became more evil. I slowly started to cut off all contact with her, and eventually, I just ignored all of her attempts to contact me. I also avoided her at work. Then, something happened one night. Suddenly, I felt a very strong heat while I was sleeping, and I woke up startled. That was when I encountered an unforgettable sight. It was her and her four horrible creatures in my room. As soon as I saw them, I got goosebumps all over my body. Their entire bodies were covered in red liquid. So much heat was coming from their bodies that the liquid was bubbling. They had the bodies of dogs, human faces, but with three mouths and three crocodile-like tails. When they opened their mouths, huge teeth appeared, as if they were spears in their mouths. They were looking at Brooke with dark green drool, like a dog waiting for its owner's permission to eat its food. When their saliva fell to the floor, it made a burning sound and began to smoke. I knew intuitively that as soon as she gave the okay sign, they would come running and tear my body to pieces. I was so scared that my body became as hard as stone. Sweat flowed out like water, and the entire bed became wet in an instant. It was the most extreme fear I had ever felt in my life. I just repeated to her that I was sorry. She looked like she was wondering what to do. I convinced her to please not hurt me. She looked at me for a long moment and then walked out the door. The demons followed her, screaming desperately as if they were disappointed. The moment they left, I lost consciousness and woke up 13 hours later. The room was still hot as if on fire, and there were burnt spots all over the room. It wasn't a dream. I looked at my phone and saw that Brooke had left me this text. "The demons are going crazy because they want to eat you. I won't forgive you next time." I want to cut all ties with her, but I can't because I'm scared of what might happen. I probably won't be able to get away from her. Ever.
It happened when I was 12 years old. I had a best friend named Mina. Her cousin had passed away, and she was very distraught about it. It caused our friendship to become strained, and we became more and more distant. Once middle school hit, we had forgotten, or just didn't care, about going to the same high school anymore and ended up joining two different schools. My friend had mysteriously joined my high school when I was 15 years old. Mind you, we hadn't seen each other in years and had lost all contact. She looked very different, though. Her eyes were no longer hazel, but dark brown. Her hair had lost its brown hue and had completely changed into black. But I recognized her. She had the same name and surname, the same features. And when I saw her parents pick her up, they were the same. Months passed, and she hadn't particularly developed a good reputation for herself. People had speculated that she was very interested in dark things and loved anything to do with death. And it scared me a lot. One night, I had a dream that I woke up in a coffin next to a random girl I did not know. Her body was all rotten, with maggots and unidentifiable bugs crawling in and out of her eye sockets. I woke up in a panic, drenched in sweat, and couldn't sleep. Later in the day, I told my friends about the nightmare, and they were all scared with me. We tried to make sense of the dream, but nothing was adding up. As we walked to our next class, we overheard a few boys discussing an online forum where deranged teenagers would discuss their death lists and how they planned to kill them. My friends and I looked at each other, terrified about what we had heard. One of them was intrigued and wanted to see what this online forum was all about. The rest of us decided not to join her in her investigation, so we agreed that she would tell us what she found there the next day. The next day arrived, and the friend looked extremely stricken with fear as we walked to school. We asked her what happened, and she just replied, "You don't want to know." She was agitated, and we tried to probe her, but were unsuccessful. We arrived at school, and as soon as my old friend passed us, she became more scared and dragged the rest of us three into a corner, and she told us everything she found. The boys weren't lying about the forum. It's filled with delusional kids who have poisoned their siblings or stabbed their parents, all seeming to be innocent to investigators. They're all so smart with it. They have never been caught. She then looked at me. "You know the dream you had a few nights ago?" I nodded, confused. "Yeah, what about it?" She looked me straight in the eye. "I found a story that was exactly like yours. According to the author, they murdered their cousin and their cousin's best friend, hiding both of them in a shack. They discovered a large wooden box in the shack and stuffed both bodies inside. But the thing is, her cousin wasn't dead. She was buried alive."
In 2013, something happened at our house that traumatized my grandmother. This happened when my brother was in the 8th grade and I was in the 5th grade. We went to different schools, so we didn't go to and from school together. We also had different dismissal times. His dismissal time was around 4:30 p.m., while mine was around 4 p.m. One day, my grandmother was in her room praying the rosary. She's very religious and has a habit of praying every day at 3 p.m. While she was praying, she saw my brother's head peek through the doorway. She asked him, "Oh, hi. I didn't know you got out of school early. Did you eat something yet? Are you hungry?" My brother just stared at her for quite a while with a blank expression on his face. Then he pulled his head back out of the doorway and disappeared from her view. My grandma thought to herself, "Okay, that was weird." So she got up and walked out of her room to talk to my brother. She looked everywhere around the house for him, but she couldn't find him anywhere. Later on at around 5 p.m., my brother got home. She immediately asked him, "Oh, you went back to school?" Then my brother asked, "What do you mean?" She replied, "You were here earlier to get something?" Then he had a confused look on his face and responded, "No, I just now got home." Then my grandma had a realization. A malicious spirit was trying to imitate my brother's face. She prayed for my brother and for the spirit to leave us alone. This made her pray even more. She now prays in the morning, afternoon, and before bedtime. She told us this story only once, and she's not the type to make up stories like this. This story stuck with me, and I ask her from time to time if she still remembers that incident. She still has a sharp mind for a 73-year-old. She says she does remember, but that she doesn't want to talk about it. And after that, she will stop the conversation and just stare off at something. I think she has seen or heard something that she's not telling us.